This morning, we're going to study angels. Last Lord's Day, we studied how God created mankind. And this morning, we're going to study how God created angels. Out of all of God's creatures other than mankind, angelic beings, although not made in the image of God, they have been given self-consciousness. They know that they are called Lucifer, Gabriel, Michael, and other names that you find in the Holy Scriptures. When were they created? We believe that they were created at the same time when the heavens were created, and that would be the first day, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so when God created the third heaven, there was the creation of angels. All the angelic beings were created on the first day. How many there were, we do not know. Perhaps millions, if not billions of them. Where are they now? What are they doing? What happened after God created angels? We are not told, but subsequently on the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day, God created the rest of creation. God just simply focused on the earth. At the end of the climax of God's creation, and that was the creation of mankind, when the environment had been created so wonderfully and perfectly for man to dwell in, God made Adam and Eve. And after that, God said it was very good. All of God's creation was very good. That means there was no sin. Lucifer, that was Satan, had not rebelled against God yet, because all was very good. How could God declare all was very good if there had been sin in heaven? Now, we know that there are three heavens. The atmospheric heaven, and that's where the birds dwell, the atmosphere. And then there is outer space, stratosphere, that's the second heaven. And then, of course, there is where the angelic beings are, where God dwells, and that is the third heaven. And that was the third heaven that the Apostle Paul was translated, he was brought up to in a vision that he did not describe in any detail, but simply mentioned that he was carried into the third heaven by God himself in the vision. Angelic beings, who are they? What are they? The Bible said that they are powerful beings. They are powerful than us, more powerful than us. What happened in heaven? In the reading from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, we are given a glimpse of what happened. We're going to look at two kinds of angels. The first kind would be the fallen angels or the bad angels. The second would be the good angels. And then we're going to look at the conclusion of what will happen at the end of this age, of this world. What happened will happen to these angelic beings. First, how did angels fall? Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14 says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, Lucifer was the name given to Satan when God created him. Lucifer literally means the morning star. It was a good name. He was a very bright being. He was an angelic being. He was one of the archangels, like the archangel Gabriel or the archangel Michael. In other words, they were ranking in the angelic realms. Like in the military, you have commanders, you have followers. And so there were archangels and there were ordinary angels. But this particular archangel by the name of Lucifer, the Bible tells us that he was cut down to the ground. Why was he cut down unto the ground? The Bible tells us, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," that is, above the creation of God, the angelic beings. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High." That was the problem. He wanted to take the place of God. He wanted to challenge God. He wanted to be God, in other words. Now, God created him with free will, a will. The way that he created mankind with a will, not the beast on the land, not the fish in the sea, nor the birds in the sky, but only two creatures, human beings and angelic beings. They have free will. And so when Lucifer challenged God, wanted to become like God, God cast him down from heaven onto the earth. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said unto the disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan was the new name given to him because Satan means an adversary. The devil means a slanderer. So these are some of the different names given to the fallen angel, the fallen archangel named Lucifer. Now, because angelic beings were created individually, each and every one of them, they are not like us. We are procreated. We have Adam and Eve as our first parent. And then through Adam and Eve, all humankind came into existence. So we are linked. And so when Adam, who represented us, fell into sin, all humankind fell into sin because he was our federal headship. He represented all mankind. But when Lucifer fell, Lucifer alone fell into sin. He did not drag all the angelic beings into sin because he did not give birth to them, as it were. Each and every one of them were created individually. So where did all the demons come from? For we know that there are demons. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ healed the demoniac, the man who lived in the tombs in the city near Gadarenes, where the tomb was located, there was a legion of demons who possessed that man. And so we know that there were these angelic beings who fell at the same time when Lucifer fell. How many of them? Revelation 12:4 tells us that one third of all of the millions and billions, if not billions, of angelic beings that God created, one third of them followed Lucifer. So this one third, each and every one of them on their own individual will chose to follow Lucifer when he challenged God and wanted to be like God, to take the place of God. And so all of them were cast down unto heaven. And during this season of time, they will be allowed to enter heaven and they will have to report to God. And how do we know that? From Job chapter 1. They report to God how often, we are not told. Apparently on a regular basis. Even Satan had to report to God. They were allowed entrance into heaven to report to God. But there will come a point in time when they will be permanently removed from heaven, where they will not be allowed to enter heaven ever again. And this will be in the last days, where they will be cast out of heaven, permanently never allowed to enter heaven. And this is found in the book of Revelation. So what do they do now? Who are these fallen angels? The chief one is called the devil. The fallen angels, they are called demons. And so the demons are the followers of Satan. Satan has many names. In the Bible, he is also known as Beelzebub. Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. Where do you find flies? Where you have dung, you know, dung, piles of dung. There are a lot of flies. And so Beelzebub is also known as the dung god. He's also known as the angel of light. And so those who follow him are called angels of light. There will be human beings who will follow Satan. There will be the demons who will follow Satan. These are the permanent enemies of God. And because they are the enemies of God, they will also be the enemies of the children of God. And so as long as you are a Christian, you will automatically become an enemy of Satan and his demons and all the humankind who would follow him, because he is also known as the prince of this world. He controls the affairs of man. He controls the mass media. He controls banks, economies. He controls the military. He controls this world, but with no absolute control. Overarching, it is still God who is sovereignly in control. But because he is the prince of this world. Now remember when God created man last week, when we studied the book of Genesis, who was given dominion over man, over God's creation? It was Adam. But when Adam fell into sin, not only did he lose his state of no sin and became a sinner, totally depraved, he also lost his dominion that God gave to him. He gave it to Satan, as it were. He lost it. So that now Satan is known as the prince of this world. He controls this world. He uses fear. He uses superstition. And he uses greed. He will dangle the carrot in front of your eyes. He will use fear. That is, he will persecute you. He will slander you. He will threaten you. These are the methods of Satan and the followers of Satan in controlling countries, in controlling millions and the minds of billions of people who are now ensnared by superstition. Doesn't matter who you are. You could have the IQ of a genius of an Einstein. You could be a billionaire. You could be a head of state. You could be kings. You could be presidents, and you're surrounded by guards and all kinds of military might. And you are still a superstitious person. Because we are talking about the spiritual realm. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of death. They think that Satan will come and kill them. I mean, in our society, you realize that there is this ghost month where thousands of dollars are spent in buying things, paraphernalia, to be burned up, as it were, to appease the ghost so that the ghost will not come to frighten you, to haunt you, to snatch your life away from you. He controls this world. And for those who are not afraid of this, he will use greed. He will dangle in front of you all kinds of carrots, gold, silver, precious metal, all these things, precious stones will be given to you to buy your heart, that you will worship Satan. Remember what was the cause of his fall from heaven? He wanted to be like God. Remember the temptation that he used to deceive Eve in the Garden of Eden? You will be like God. And what is he doing right now? You will be like God. With the new age, you will be like God. Half-truth, with a sprinkling of truth, but with also a dosage of error and untruth that will turn the half-truth into a complete lie. But because it is so tantalizing, it is so attractive to this carnal man, to this flesh, that so many of us have fallen prey to it. We are no smarter than dogs sometimes, because dogs, the Bible says, will not go back to its own vomit. But we who say we are Christians, to our own shame, sometimes after we have become Christians, we want to go back and love the world and exchange God for mammon, because we have been deceived by Satan. Please don't think that just because you are a Christian, you will not be deceived by Satan. Any one of us can be used by Satan. Remember that very famous incident where the Lord Jesus Christ had to rebuke very strongly, instantaneously, against his own disciple, one of the inner three circles, the closest to him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Remember that? His name was the Apostle Peter. Jesus Christ had just told them that I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you. But with a selfish heart, Peter had gotten so used, so comfortable with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life for the past 3 odd years, that he could not bear the Lord Jesus Christ leaving him. He was selfish. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do the Heavenly Father's will. But he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to stay back because of Peter's will. And so he told the Lord Jesus Christ, don't go. And because the Lord Jesus Christ loved him very much, he became a tool of Satan. At that point in time, he became a tool of Satan, tempting the Lord Jesus Christ to disobey the Heavenly Father's will and not go to the cross and remain behind to be with Peter. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to rebuke him strongly. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an adversary at that point in time. Not that he had suddenly become Satan, but you have now become an adversary of God. You have taken the side of Satan in going against the will of God in my life. He is a powerful being. He is called an angel of light. That means he will appear like light, and his followers will also do likewise. Please don't think that Satan is like a red caricature. You know what's a caricature? A guy who is all reddish in color, with two horns, with a tail, pointed tail, and then holding in his hand a trident, a pitchfork, and then with a smile and a smirk on his face and with two little mustaches. Right? Sometimes we think that he is like this, and because with this caricature, he is like a joke. He is like a very laughable, silly creature. And because we think that he is like this, we just brush him aside like as if he is a nobody. He is smarter than all of us combined together. He is known as the father of lies. He is known as the accuser of the brethren. He can make us believe a lie and think that it is the truth, so that you will sincerely believe that what you are doing with your entire life, pursuing after a so-called noble goal, thinking that it is the truth, when in fact it is a lie. And he can even do it, making you think that it is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how cunning and smart he is. He has thousands and thousands of years to master the art of deception. How long have you and I been on this earth? He had been on this earth thousands of years, as far back as the time of Garden of Eden. He is also known as the dragon. He's known as the serpent. When he wanted to be ferocious, he will be ferocious. If he wants to be stealthy and cunning and soft, he will be. Please don't think that he is always like a fierce roaring lion. When he needs to, he will be. But there will be times when he will appear like a lamb. He will appear as if he is on your side. He will dress like a Christian. He will smile like a Christian. He will carry the Bible like a Christian. He may even be found in seminaries, in Bible colleges, teaching the Bible. He may even be found in the church as a pastor, as an elder, as a deacon. These are all his followers, angels of light. That's exactly what it is. He will have those who are very blatant, very open, very ferocious. And at the same time, he will be also like those who are very mild-mannered, very soft-spoken. Those who are afraid, he will be like a roaring lion to frighten you. Those who say, I am very courageous, I'm not afraid, he will use a soft approach. He will befriend you. And then he will lead you. And the words that come out of the mouth of these soft-spoken, smiley people are just as demonic, diabolical, satanic, and deadly. You don't believe? Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13 describes the two characteristics of the followers, or the chief followers of Satan. The chief followers of Satan, of these two opposing groups. One of them is known as the capital A Antichrist. The other one is known as the false prophet. But the characteristics are like day and night. Two very opposing, different characteristics. But both of them are followers of Satan. In this chapter, of course, Satan is known as the dragon. Look at the first characteristics, the leader of those who are like the roaring lion, the ferocious kind. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The word beast there describes a wild animal. Not the beast that is found in the earlier book of Revelation that described the beast, the four beasts that you find in heaven. That one refers to living creatures, very different. Having seven heads, 10 horns. That means he's going to be a king. He's going to be a ruler. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now you look at a picture of this Antichrist. A leopard, bear, lion, ferocious, isn't it? If you are an artist and you draw out this character with these beast-like characteristics? What kind of feature, what kind of face will confront us? A kind of a distorted creature that is fierce, that is ferocious, that will put a fear into every heart, unless you have the fear of God. Then you will not be afraid. But if you don't have the fear of God, you see this creature, you'll be afraid. Because he will be energized by Satan, and he will have power, and he will be sitting in a position of authority, and he's going to rule with great power, great authority. If you don't listen, he will kill you. He will rob you and take you away from your family. Your children will be shot before your very eyes. He will do all these atrocious things that you read in the past. And you're going to read more in the present and in the future if the Lord tarries. The second kind, you look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast. Now, same word, beast, same word, wild animal. The word another is the same, telling us that it is another of exactly the same kind like the first beast, coming out of the earth. So both of them came out of the earth. And he had two horns. What kind of horns? Pray tell, like a lamb. Out of all the animals in God's kingdom, the first animal, the horns, the face, wild beast, ferocious. This one, like a lamb. You look at the false prophet, fatherly figure, smiling, dressed in white, very, very genteel, appealing. One, fierce. This one, appealing. But look at the words. And he spake like what? The dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. So you have these two very contrasting and opposing features. But both of them energized by Satan. Followers of Satan. Given power by Satan. To do what? To do miracles. Satan is not a small fry. He had the power over the wind to destroy the house of Job, where his children were having a feast and killed all his 10 children. He had power to control the Sabaeans. They were the wild men. They were the brigands. They were the bandits who came and killed the servants of Job and robbed him of his wealth. Satan is deceptive. He is powerful and he controls men and he can give men power. Certain power because he's the prince of this world. He can give you earthly power so that you will be enticed by this earthly power. So that you will bow down and worship him. So that you will regard him as your God. Because that had been his intent from the very beginning. This was the intent that caused him to be kicked out of heaven onto this earth. And he will continue to use the same theme because that is so successful. And he will continue to use it, making us think that we are in control of our lives when in fact he is the master controlling us like a puppet on a string. You may call yourself an atheist, but he is still your Lord. He will fill your heart with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. You're going to commit all kinds of sinful, wicked deeds, fornication. You're going to grab the wealth of the world and thinking that this is what life is all about until you are dying on your deathbed. And then you look at your life, all gone. Now, with the last few moments on this earth, you think that this is what life is? And then now you're facing the last few moments of your life on this earth. And with $1 billion in your bank account, it helps you nothing. And you spend your energy, your entire life, accumulating this wealth. And at the end of it, what do you have? Zero. You're an atheist, he controls you. You worship other gods, he controls you. He turns you into a superstitious weakling. Doesn't matter who you are, what positions you hold in your multi-billion-dollar international corporation. He will control you, whichever way that he could. That's a fallen angel. And they are continuing to be in our midst. And they are not going to run away. They're not going to go away. They're not going to disappear until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So what do we have in this world? a world of darkness, a world of hopelessness, unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He delivered you from the bondage of sin, God said one day you will judge angels. One day you're going to sit on the side of God. You're going to judge angels. What will happen to all these angelic beings? Turn to Revelation, and you will find that all these angelic beings will be cast into the lake of fire, and that's where they will belong for all eternity. So will this beast that we read earlier in Revelation chapter 13. They're not going to escape. They want to worship Satan. They're going to receive the same end like Satan. You look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 19. Okay, verse 19, Revelation 19, the end of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the ferocious follower, the head, and then the other one, it is like the two horns of a lamb, very soft-spoken, but just as deadly, just as satanic and diabolical. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to war, to make war against him, that is Christ, that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, that is the ferocious one, and with him the false prophet, the one with the two horns like a lamb, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now it's as if were those who have died and cast into the lake of fire is one thing, but to be cast alive into the lake of fire seems to be far, far more worse than those who were cast into the lake of fire dead. This will be the end. This will be the judgment. What about Satan, you may ask? For Satan, you look at chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is where they will all end up. All those who follow Satan, all those who have been deceived by Satan, all those who love the world, all those who are greedy, all those who are lustful, all those who are deceived, all those who are fearful, the superstitious, all of them will end up in the lake of fire with Satan. And he loved to have your company there. Because in that place, he will laugh and he will say, I have succeeded in deceiving all of you. The only time when you can turn this around is right now while you are still alive. When you truly repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for your sins. And God accepted what He has done for you by raising Him from the dead. And you openly, sincerely from your heart embrace Jesus Christ, confessing your sin and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Unconditionally. Your entire life given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way out of this end. Because this will be the end of every one of us who die in our sins without the Lord Jesus Christ. No exception. No exception. This is the beginning of the fallen angels and the end of the fallen angels. They were in heaven. They fell. Now they are on earth. They're trying to deceive the world, as many as they possibly could. All those who will die in their sins, following him in superstition and in fear and in greed. And they will all end up in a lake of fire one day. But what about the good angels? The good angels continue to serve the Lord, to be ministers, for they have been created by God as ministering spirits. They will still be Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, for example. Gabriel was the archangel whom God sent to speak to Joseph, who was espoused to the Virgin Mary. When he found out that Mary was with child, he wanted to divorce her, separated himself from her, until the angel Gabriel spoke to him and said to him that she is with child through the power of the Spirit of God. Do not cast her aside. The same Gabriel archangel went to also speak with Mary to tell her that she was the chosen one, that she was the one whom God had chosen, through whom the Messiah will come into this world. She was the fulfillment of the first gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Genesis 3:15. They continue to be ministering spirits. And then they are also those who are there to fight for us in the spiritual realm that you and I cannot see with our naked eyes. In Jude chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. So they are fighting in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. In the book of Daniel, we are told that the angel wanted to come and assist Daniel, but he was prevented by Satan from coming to Daniel's aid, to help Daniel with understanding, to strengthen him. It is no wonder, therefore, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places, in the spiritual realm. That's why we are wrestling every moment of every day in this life, whether in church or in the school or in the workplace. It is a wrestling match. The text that reveals this to us is none other than Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. So you and I know that we have the good angels helping us, fighting for us. They are the ministering spirits that God sent all over the world, archangel as well as all the two-third other angelic beings. And then on top of that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ helping us, that we may be victorious, that we may not succumb to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life as God's children. We are to be the salt and the light in the world that is in darkness, who need our witness, who need us to tell them about Jesus Christ, to tell them the truth. And therefore, you will become a target of the evil one. The higher you go, the more you will be targeted. They're going to target you with all kinds of forces and material that they will lay their hands on. They're not going to stop. They're going to try their utmost to do whatever it takes to destroy your witness, to destroy your faith. They're going to use persecution. They're going to use slander. They're going to accuse you falsely. And then on top of that, they may have to incarcerate you and get you into trouble. And if possible, burn you at the stake, the way they did to Martin Luther and others of old. Sorry, not Martin Luther, beg your pardon, William Tyndale of old. They're not going to stop. They're going to try their utmost. You want to defend God's word? Be prepared for satanic attack. And that's why the Bible warns us in Ephesians verse 12. For we wrestle. Why such a strong word, wrestle? Why such a strong word? Because that's exactly what you are doing. You are wrestling and there is no let up. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so when people come into your life to discredit you, to put you into all kinds of hot soup, all kinds of trouble, it is not them per se. How you react and respond to all these things is where the real battle is. You can react and respond in a godly manner, the way the Lord Jesus Christ has set the example for us. Or you can respond and react in a way that is evil, that is sinful, and then you will have lost. You don't take matters into your own hands, no matter how tempting it might be. Or how sometimes you really wish to think that vengeance is mine instead of the Lord's. But God says, you don't do it. You must see the sovereignty of God in your life, that God has allowed all these things to happen to strengthen you, to protect you, and to undergird you, that you may be strong. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, that's the word authority, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There will be Satan and his demons and those who follow him, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the real battle is. And so how do you fight this battle? Verse 11, you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able, that you may have the power to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why it's called the wiles of the devil. You have to know the Bible. No other way, because the makeup of this armor of God is described for us from verse 13 onwards. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, continue to stand. Stand therefore. You see, the key word is stand. Keep on standing. We're not talking about physically standing up, but spiritually standing up without compromise, without succumbing to the temptations that will come into your life. And it's not going to stop. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Make sure your life is one of truthfulness, not lies, not deceptions. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, a righteous life, that they can find no fault with you. They're going to scrutinize your life and find all kinds of ways to destroy you. If you have some hidden skeleton, fix it. Clean up the closet. Ask God to forgive you of your sins, all of it. If you have to make restitution, because all these things will be found out. Your sins will be found out. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, continue to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Don't let them undermine your faith, your trust in God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, not some, not most, all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you take on the helmet of salvation. Don't make them think that you are not safe. They're going to cast doubt about your salvation. Oh, maybe I'm not a child of God. That's how I'm feeling this way. That's why God has deserted me. That's why I have to go through all these attacks. Don't ever, ever allow this kind of thoughts to cause you to doubt. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. The perfect Word of God. That's the only thing. Because there are a lot of them out there. They're going to be so soft-spoken, so sweet-talking. Unless you know the Word of God, you will not be able to discern whether what they say is godly or evil. No other way. If you're going to listen by the tone, you're going to fail. Because the false prophet, remember the horns, the two horns like a lamb? The tone will be very soft. If you're going to measure and determine the truth by just the tone, you're going to lose. You're going to die. You're going to be deceived. It's not the tone. It's the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God, because this is part and parcel of the whole armor of God that will keep us. God created these angels. Angels, even Satan, he is not God. He is a creature created by God, even though he may be a powerful being. But he has no absolute power. Your heavenly Father has. And so you must keep close to him. You must not allow the forces of this world to undermine and destroy your faith and your witness and your compromise. Because that's exactly what God needs today. Men and women of courage who will be able to stand earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And to do that with that kind of strength and courage, you have to have the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to fix your life. You cannot be a warrior in the battlefield for the Lord Jesus Christ if your life is a mess. If you continue to love the world, if you do not pray, you do not know the Word of God, you can't fight God's battle, because that's exactly what we are fighting now. The price? Do you know what's the price? Not money. Not the property. Do you know what's the price? The souls of men, women, and children. Whether they go to heaven or they end up in hell. That's where the battle is. You look around you. Don't have to look far. Your sons, your daughters, are they in the faith? If they are not in the faith, why not? Don't talk about missionaries overseas whom you don't even know, whom you can't even see, when your own sons and daughters are heading for hell. You pray for them. You're not struggling against flesh and blood. You're not struggling against them per se. It's a spiritual realm. Your colleagues whom you've been working with, rubbing shoulders with, talking about all kinds of worldly affairs. But what about the spiritual things? Have you told them about Christ? Have you prayed for their salvation? Because it's a spiritual realm that we are wrestling against. Why do we pray so hard for this church? Because it's through the church like this that we know the faith, we study the Word of God. Why do we pray so hard for the Far Eastern Bible College that the Lord will preserve the college? Why do you think the college and the church comes under so much attack? Because when the college falls, the future of the BP movement dies with it. Because even if you have people going to full-time ministry, where are you going to send them? You send them overseas in America, you're going to lose them, because America is more or less now like a graveyard for seminaries and Bible colleges. One by one, they're falling like 10 pins. Very hard to find a conservative college that will earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, especially with the BP perspective distinctives. Very difficult. Likewise, local churches. Where are our children going to grow and mature in the faith? We know that once a person is saved, he needs to grow, he needs to mature, because if he doesn't grow and doesn't mature in the faith, he will be lost to the world the way Lot was lost to the world. Was he saved? Yes. But his physical life became a life of a gigantic mistake and big blunder. That was Lot. He had one of the best witnesses in his life, Uncle Abraham. But he threw everything away because he loved the good life in Sodom, building his business empire in Sodom. And at the end of it, he lost everything in Sodom. Fire and brimstone. He lost his family too in Sodom. Please don't think that just because you are a Christian and everything will automatically fall into place. It will not. There is human responsibility. You have to ensure, you have to really work hard. Study the Word of God, that you will be firmly rooted and grounded in the most holy faith, that you will be able to instruct your children, you'll be instruct your friends, so that you will be ever ready to give an account, a reason for the faith that is in your heart, as the Bible tells us to. Because if you don't, you look at the world around us, the signs are so clear, you need to be blind before you can see this. How much more do you think this world can take the way that it is heading? You have unbelievers telling us the world is going crazy, right? The oil prices double within 1 year. The people who have been dealing with this kind of stuff for more than 30 years were interviewed on BBC, and they said, we are scratching our head. We don't know what's happening. We can't guess. We can't understand the situation. It's going crazy. And they say that by the end of the year, the oil prices will be $200 a barrel. With recession, the price is supposed to go down. It's not going to go down. You ask the OPEC people, they're not going to pump more because they blame the West. Both sides are blaming one another. While they're blaming one another, the world is going into chaos. They're going to pump petrol. You're going to pay sky high. Everything else is going to go sky high. And we still want to think of the world. This world is going crazy. Is this not sign enough for us to realize as God's children that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places? You have to wake up, pray, study God's word, go out and witness and tell, because that's the only thing that will matter for all eternity. That's the only thing that counts even right now in this earth, the spiritual realm that we are fighting against. And if you do not pray, you're going to lose. Satan is no fool. The only way to deal with him is the word of God. Remember how Jesus dealt with him when he was tempted in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without food and water? Jesus quoted scriptures. Remember that every word that Jesus comes out of his mouth is the word of God. And despite that, he purposely quotes scripture to tell us the importance of knowing scriptures, because with scripture, Satan has no answer. You use your own opinion, you use your own words, he will have answers of the answers that he will twist and turn. You're going to lose. The only way to deal with him is to know the word. No other way. If you don't, just because you are Christian, does not mean that you will not become his target. And when you fall, you're going to bring shame to the name of Christ, and those around you will be stumbled. We are living in the last days, dear friends. Please don't think that this world can go on the way it is. One Sunday, remember, will be our final Sunday. One church camp will be our last church camp. One prayer meeting we come on Tuesday evening will be our last. Everything will come to a very swift conclusion. Last day you go to school, last day you go to work, last day you brush your teeth, last time you're going to wake up. There will be a last in everything that you do right now. And don't assume that it's going to go on and on and on. Turn our lives around with God's help, with God's enabling, and let us truly make this life count for Jesus. Salvation is free, but it costs Christ his precious blood. Let us all search our hearts and see where we need to fix our lives. Let us fix it for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to see and to realize that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. The spiritual realm is so real, though we cannot see with our naked eyes, but we know from Holy Scriptures that it is just as real as we are seated in this sanctuary this morning. Help us therefore, O Lord, as your blood-bought children, all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, that we may pray without ceasing, that we will be much on our knees, wrestling, O Lord, wrestling against not flesh and blood, but principalities. O Lord, may thou give us the battle and the victory, for we know that we are weak, but thou art strong. O Lord, may thou undergird and strengthen the faith of every child of God in this sanctuary, that we may rise to the occasion and that we may stand in the gap and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days of change, of deception, and of compromise. May thou preserve the Far Eastern Bible College and this church, especially the leaders of this church, that the leaders will have the fear of God in their hearts to nurture, to protect, and to look after the flock, come what may. And may we not fail thee, but may we one day hear from thee, O Lord. Well done, and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. O Lord, defend thy people and thy church in these last days of change and compromise, and may we be found faithful to the very end of our lives. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.